Some of you have asked about, because it's been the summertime, we're going through this whole armor sequence that, you know, if you miss one or two, whatever, but Steve and I will work on, once we get all of them together, then we'll run off some CDs and you can have some CDs. We'll just set them as a, you know, a little series or something, so. All right. We're almost done. Almost done with all the armor. So today is Ephesians 6:17, and just very quick, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation." That's it. That'll be quick, won't it? Yeah. Take the helmet of salvation, 6:17. All right. So remember last week we talked about the shield and how you had the two shields. One was very ornate, and it was for public display when the soldiers were walking through the city, and then one was very plain, that was in the shape of a door that you covered yourself with in the midst of battle. Well, this one is, this piece of armor is anything but plain. It's very ornate. It's intricate engravings. It's got also a huge plume, mostly time. It have a huge plume of brightly colored feathers and horse hairs. It's made of bronze. There's my display man over there. I missed you last week there because I had the shield that was about your size. But anyway, you'd have this this helmet, see? And it was made of bronze, and pieces came down on the sides, usually, to cover the cheekbones, okay? And it was also lined with sea sponge, okay? Because any kind of blow to the head, you know, I mean, you get your football helmets from this, you get your army helmets from this, you get something whacked on your head like a battle axe, and you're going to, you know, ding. So they have sea sponges on the inside. So anyway, that's kind of what it looked like. And then, you know, your kids ask you to go to the movies. And they get you a Thor helmet. So this is my Thor helmet. But I tell you what, I would not trust this Thor helmet because it has no backing. You could get clonked on the head. And I don't know, you know, Thor had that big hammer. If he goes up against somebody with a big hammer, he's going to get whacked on the head. It has no covering. So this is the Thor helmet. So it's got the side cheek thing too. Anyway, so whichever one you want to wear, you want to cover your head or you want to cover your cheeks, something. So here's the application, okay? Your salvation is the most elaborate and ornate gift that God has given you. And you think, why would they put all this plume and bronze and it's shiny and everything else? Because you know what? You notice the change in a person when they get saved. You just notice it. Now, I don't know about you, but when we got saved, of course, we were over here, and all our family was 3,000 miles away. And we have this in the office, and most of you have seen this picture of us. BC days and AD day. The BC days are the top two, and the bottom one is 9 months after we got saved. And I think we were at the San Diego Zoo visiting a friend. But I'm going to pass it around. Because you can see even in the countenances, these two New York's attitudinal people, and they got saved. Now, when we got saved, we had the distinct privilege of family 3,000 miles away thinking that we shaved our heads, and we had tambourines, and we were at the airport every weekend. No. Then when we got kids and we started naming them Josiah, what? Joshua? No. Joe? No. Josiah. Where'd that from the Bible? Oh, my God. Then we had Zachariah. Oh, my God. Micah. What? Where? Michael? No, not Michael. Michael, Joseph, John. No. Not these Catholic names. We had Micah in the Bible and Rachel. Well, they thought we just flipped, you know. So when we finally went back east, they said, something's different. Did you change your hair? Okay. Or did you get new clothes? Or your makeup's different? They're trying to explain the countenance changes, you know, analytically. And yet, the change inside is the thing that produces the change on the outside. Now, this helmet was to fit around your head, and if you had no helmet in the midst of battle, you had no head. Okay? Because the enemy gets your head, the rest of you goes with it, and it's your command center, and you were decapitated. That was the one reason why you had that helmet on, so you don't get your head taken off. Now, since this covers your command center, what do you think the devil wants to attack? Your mind, right? The devil wants to attack your mind. So is your salvation secure on your head? Do you know how many times we talk to people and they don't really, and even though this word for the salvation is not necessarily the eternal salvation, but you know a lot of people, they know who Jesus is. I just talked to one yesterday. They know who Jesus is. They know he's the Savior, and I don't trust God. And that's usually from experiences that have come because of disappointments and because of frustrations and because God didn't answer a prayer the way you wanted him to. So the devil gets in there and starts playing with your mind. Some of these scripture verses, remember these? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? In your head. That way may be able to comprehend with all the saints. We just did that one in Ephesians 3:18. Comprehension is where? Your head. Keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Where's the mind? Inside the head. Isaiah 26:3. So, there's three areas that the enemy uses to start playing with your head. And the first one, and we talked about this before, remember, the wiles of the devil, Ephesians 6:11, the wiles, okay? Not a while, but a wiles. And the wiles were the devices, the deceptions, the methodos. That's the word wiles, is methodos. Meth is with, and odos is what? Where we get the word odometer. Odometer, odos. Yeah, and it means road. And it was like, what is this? What? With the road? Yeah, the devil is not creative like the Lord. He uses one road, one avenue, one lane of attack, one way, the wrong way. That's his road, constantly, constantly. The road, and it's like it's got a rut. You ever go up and seen where the wagon trains came across, especially up in Wyoming, you still see the ruts. Okay, they're still there. And that's what the enemy uses, is these ruts inside your mind constantly. It's one way, one avenue, one lane of attack. So that's the first thing, is the wiles of the devil. The second thing is, it says, don't be ignorant of his devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. And that word there is nomata, which is the mind, which is the scheming in the mind, or the scheming of the mind. So what are schemes and devices? Mind. Come on. Today we call them mind games. Does the devil play mind games with you? Absolutely. Remember, the hardware is the brain and the software is the mind. The devil wants a foothold inside your head, and he wants to go on the road most traveled. Same road all the time, down the road. So you've got, the first thing is the wiles of the devil, okay? And that's the devices and the methods, and then the and then ignorant of his devices, which are the mind games. And the third thing is deception, delios, which is to deceive with a purpose. That's what that one means, to deceive with a purpose. And it means to bait someone, like a fishing term. Okay, so let's put all these together. You got the wiles, which is the odometer, the road, right? You got the mind games with the devices, and then you've got the deception, which is on a purpose to bait somebody. So let's put it all together. This is what it'll sound like. The devil, on his wily road, head towards the mind, he plays mind games with the believer. He does it over and over and over again, because remember, Diablos is the word for penetrate. Bang, 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 whoop, he got through. So he plays the mind game with the believer over and over and over till he penetrates. The mind game is in full motion. He baits with a lying accusation, and it leads to vain imaginations that are raised up against the knowledge of God. We bite the bait, and then deception is fully implemented. Do you see that? The wily road, remember, on the road, odometer, heads towards the mind, plays mind games with you, does it over and over and over until he finds a chink in the armor or place to penetrate. Bang, 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 bang. The mind game that's fully in motion baits you with some lying accusation. Your vain imagination that's raised up against the knowledge of God. You're going to believe your imagination, or you're going to believe the knowledge of God. You bite the bait like a fish, and he hooks you. And your deception is fully implemented. Lovely, isn't it? Isn't that nice? And he does the same thing over and over, because he's not creative. He just does the same thing over and over and over again. Then what happens is this becomes a stronghold. And very easily, a stronghold is something that has a stronghold of you. And the word in the Old Testament is fortress, and the word in the New Testament is prison for stronghold. Okay? So, think about a fortress and think about a prison. They kind of do the same thing, but just in opposite directions. The fortress stops outsiders from getting in, right? And the prison keeps insiders from getting out. But he accomplishes the same thing. Either way, on the fortress side, he keeps people isolated, far away from those who can help them. Do you know how many times people in their head have, don't go there, they're going to hurt you, when they're driving to an appointment? These lying minions lie to them. So it keeps people isolated and far away from those who can help them to find freedom. And then it also imprisons them on the inside so that nobody can get in. And it happens over a long period of time. Now, we have a dear friend who for 10 years was in bondage because she finally bought a thought that her mother was saying to her over and over and over again, you're worthless, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything. She would try to fight it over and over and over again, just with mental gymnastics, just by basically white-knuckling it. Until one day, while she was switching the laundry over to the dryer, she finally gave in. And she bought the thought and spent 10 years in torment on all these psychedelic and psychiatric drugs from the psychiatrist. When she finally came in to see Tony, she walked like she was probably 80 years old. And they started working on this deception and buying the lie. She was on a 6-month waiting list for shock treatments. Yes, folks, we still have shock treatments here in Portland, Oregon. What'd you have, 5 appointments with her? Four. 4 appointments. She takes her little bag of psychiatric drugs to the psychiatrist and says, I don't need these anymore. He said, you will be on them the rest of your life. And that was 4 years ago now, 5 years ago, 7 years ago. And she does the RVM stuff down in California, helping other people get free. She had bought the thought that she was no good. We have it with people who have multiple chemical environmental disease. Like they have to live in a bubble. And the lie that, you know, anything around them is going to give them some kind of a disease. I'm telling you, once it gets in your head, it's got to get out. And I think if you have not gone through the deception study that we have, every person needs to go through that. Because you don't know you're deceived until you're deceived. And you don't know you're deceived because that's the whole thing about deception. So, how to protect your head? How do you protect your head? Well, the first thing is you need to take your thoughts captive, or your thoughts will take you captive. It says take every thought captive. Now, I thought that it said just take the lies captive. Well, how do you know it's a lie or not if it's disguised? It says take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So you take every thought and line it up with the word, yes or no. Because what happens is the enemy comes along. He's like, what? Deceptive, like an angel of light, right? And he plants even something that's okay because it takes away from what's best. Like we prayed, I think it was this morning that we prayed, Lord, don't let us be doing stuff that we're not supposed to be doing. Because we can get so doing things that you stop being with the Lord, and that starts erasing your relationship, and you're doing all these things that he never asked you to do. And Satan can get you on good things, but not the best thing. So take your thoughts captive, or your thoughts will take you captive. Okay? 1 Peter 1:13 also then says, gird up the loins of your mind. Now that's a really interesting place because loins are down here and your mind is up here. So it says basically get your mind in shape. Gird up your loins. Get them in shape. Don't let your mind wander away. 2 Timothy 1:7. God isn't, you know, everybody knows that one, right? God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's the little song that we sing. But of power, love, and a sound mind. Okay? Sensible thinking is what that word means. If you're saved, you have intelligent thinking. Think like a saved person, not like a carnally minded person. You need to think. We need to think like a saved person. Because when you think carnally minded, it leads to death, Romans 8:6, and it leads to defilement, Titus 1:15. Those are the two things it leads to. And we used to call it, you know, we still call it stinky thinky, you know, stinking thinking. That's what it produces, stinky. Ever run over or go by a skunk that's been run over? Whew. Man. If you have your vents open, you've got it in your car. You like it. Okay, well, we'll send some over to you. Oh, my goodness. Stinking thinking. Thanks. All right. Well, we'll make another illustration of something else that you won't like in your car. Okay, so what kind of salvation are you wearing? Now, this word for salvation, okay, like I said, it was not the term for eternal salvation. This word is broadly applied to be brought into a safe place and delivered from danger. Brought into a safe place and delivered from danger. Okay? So, if it's protecting your mind, it wants to bring you into a safe place, right? And delivers you from danger because you're having a helmet on in the midst of battle for some reason, right? Keep somebody from whacking your head off. But just as a slave has marks of a whip from his former master, our minds have grooves of the way that we thought in our previous life. The person may not be a slave anymore, but they've got the marks on them. And the same thing with our minds. Our minds have these marks on us, these grooves. If you want to get a technical scientific thing, these MEMS, of the way that you used to think before you were saved. So you have to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to work in your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, to renew it with right thinking. So, yes, we have these marks as the whip from Satan, our former master, and our minds have these grooves, the way that we think in our previous life, but we need to have what the Word of God and the Spirit of God working inside of you to heal these things, renew it with right thinking, make new grooves. The Emperor's New Groove, you remember that thing? Yeah. You need to have new grooves and along with your coat that you have so that you can make willful decisions and healthy emotions, your mind, will, and emotions, all three of those things in your soul. So these little words that are then there for a reason. So take the helmet of salvation. So take means to receive the helmet of salvation. You need to take it. Do you remember the two pieces of armor that the soldiers wanted to take off because when they weren't fighting was the breastplate because it was so heavy, right? And the helmet. So you have to be careful when you, oh, I'm going to rest. Satan doesn't rest. He's not a human being. He keeps on you. So take and receive the helmet of salvation and put the thing on and adjust and tighten it so it's not loose fitting. Now, there are some loose fitting theology floating around, and I've ordered a little DVD set that somehow, some way, I'd like all of us to watch, maybe interspersed with what we do on Wednesday night. I don't know, but it's all about the emergent church. And it's called Churchianity. And it's how things are degrading into these mystical types of things that were not supposed to be part of the church. Labyrinths and all these different things. So you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. I'm still in this gospel according to Job because I'm using it for my class at Multnomah. But I want to read you something about salvation. Considered objectively, the event of salvation is not one that ever needs to be repeated in the life of a believer, but it does need to be rehearsed, re-experienced, and reenacted. Ideally, the earth-shattering liberation of the gospel is something that we should experience afresh every day. For each new day has its share of evil, quite enough to swamp the soul of any saint. So, do you have to keep going down to the altar and getting saved all the time? No. No. Accepted Christ? Yes. But like this says, it's very interesting. It needs to be rehearsed, re-experienced, and reenacted. It should be afresh every day. We should appreciate it every day. They had to put that helmet on every day. You know, when they woke up in the morning. The two things they took care of was what? Talked about last week, the shield, making sure that it was oiled up and watered up and everything, and that helmet. They had to make sure that that helmet was on. So, I have three questions for us. Do you have a battle axe, quote unquote, in your life who whacks at your thoughts all the time? Sorry to use the term battle axe, but you know what I mean. Because that's what they were trying to protect, really. The battle axe would come down on your head and split your head open. So do you have a battle axe who is used by the enemy in your life and whacks at your thoughts every day? You need your helmet of salvation. How about, do you have loose-fitting theology that jostles your resolve about your salvation? It creeps in very, very slowly, but I'm telling you, it's just insidious. These loose-fitting theologies. I have to deal with this in the place that I'm teaching. And I've got to be about myself because they've rewritten the curriculum and I just got some concerns, that's all. So, do you have a battle axe in your life, whacks at your thoughts? Do you have loose-fitting theology that jostles your resolve about your salvation? And do you question your resolve about being delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of God's dear Son? Which is in Ephesians, if you remember, that we went over. Bottom line in that question is, do you trust God? Isn't it funny? What do you trust? You know, I asked this guy who said, I don't trust God. He knows his Bible real well. Really well. I says, you know it. You're enough to be dangerous. I says, so who do you trust? Yourself? Or who do you trust? Your bank or your employer? Or I mean, who do you trust if you don't trust God? He says, that's a good question. I says, well, that's the one thing we're going to have to wrestle with, because if there's no trust in God, what does that mean? Trust is integrity plus consistency over time. We've used that equation over and over and over again. Who's more integrous than God? Who's more consistent than God? Who's timeless? You know, he meets all three categories or criteria. So think about it. Do you have a battle axe that whacks at your thoughts, even if it's the enemy with the accusation? Then you need to go through the accusation study and get rid of it. I just did this with somebody who has been shucking and jiving and back and forth and this and that. Come in, don't see him for 3 months, comes back and forth. And we, you know what? We went through this. We went through accusation, finally. Because what comes out of your mouth is usually what's going on in your head. So he's always accusing others because he's got this accusation going on. And now, for 2 weeks at least, it's been quiet in his head. Not happening. And quiet in his home, that's right, because Tony deals with the other person. Loose-fitting theology. Folks, please, it is so deceptive. It says in the last days, right, it will be deceptive. Deceptive teaching. And that whole loose-fitting theology that just, you know, did God really say this? And then you're delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of God's dear Son. That is your eternal salvation. That is being saved through the blood of Jesus and the cross. And so do you trust God with everything? With everything. So. All right, put your Bibles aside. We have the sword of the Spirit next week, and then we also have praying with all prayer. So we got to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about prayer too. All right, set your Bibles aside and let's pray. And Paul, can you pass the baskets around and we'll take tithes and offerings. We'll pray over that. And then you're free to go on your Labor Day. Father, thank you. We ask you to bless the tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you for blessing us with gainful employment. We thank you, Lord, that we get to give back to you. And we also thank you, Lord, that we have the helmet of salvation. And Lord, thank you for changing us, that it's not our makeup, it's not our hair, it's not our clothes. The world sees it's inside. And Lord, we just pray, help us to be discerning about the wiles of the devil, the devices, and his deception to deceive with a purpose, so that we know, Lord, there's something that's not right here. And Lord, we also pray that we take our thoughts captive, that we gird up the loins of our mind, and that we are not given into a spirit of fear, but we have a sound mind of Christ and sensible thinking, and that we are to think like a saved person. Help us to think like a saved person. And help us, Lord, deliver us from the danger, deliver us from evil. That's part of your prayer that you taught the disciples, Lord. Deliver us from evil. And Lord, help us to remember, even though we maybe did this 30, 40 years ago, that it's fresh every day. We need to rehearse it. We need to remember how precious and how elaborate, ornate gift that you gave us is our salvation. So we just pray for the rest of the weekend, Lord, that we would be able to enjoy, relax the last vacation here that we have, last holiday before fall starts. And we thank you, Lord, for this group of people. And we pray for those that can't be with us, like Bruce and Mary, that are out on a vacation right now. And Lord, we just would pray for Paula and all those that, Lord, like I said, couldn't be here tonight. And we just pray, Father, that you would just allow us, Lord, grace and mercy, whether it be with extended family or friends or barbecues or whatever, and let us be the fragrance of Christ around them. In Jesus' name, amen.